Last summer, I was wandering among the 700 booths of the Christian Booksellers Convention in Denver when I passed one woman who glanced at me, stopped, and then turned to me and said, "Where are you?" Well, I looked at her and I said, "Well, I'm right here." I was tempted at that point to try to get away from the strange person who'd asked this weird question, but I decided to stop and clarify. And so I asked her what she was meaning. And come to find out, she was the owner of a Christian bookstore, had been hunting to order some materials from NAV Press, which is our organization's press, and had seen NAV Press on my badge. And so she had asked, "Where are you?" Communication, understanding one another, is not easy. You see, communication is more than speaking, and it's more than listening, and it's more than a combination of the two. Communication is really understanding one another. It is the meeting of meaning. And that's difficult, isn't it? Overheard at a Washington airport was this announcement: "Will all those Piedmont passengers who have not done so, please do so immediately?" We struggle to communicate. It's a lifelong struggle, isn't it? I've read many books and articles on this subject of really understanding each other. And that's what I'd like to talk to you a little bit about this morning. Understanding each other and then God. Understanding God. One book that I read recently, or article, was talking about the fact that one of the reasons that we have difficulty understanding one another is that we all come to life with different scripts. And by that he meant with all different personalities, different backgrounds, different people around us that feed into our little computers, very different things. And he gave this beautiful example. He said, "In the early days of my own marriage, I would have sworn that my wife and I had discussed every aspect of life and love. We had known each other from kindergarten, dated from the 10th grade, and been engaged for a year and a half. But we had never discussed what happens when you are sick. And if someone had suggested we discuss it, I would have laughed. Every right-thinking person knows what you should do when you get sick. You go to bed. That is your part. Then your mother, or whoever loves you, pumps you full of fruit juice. Well, I married this woman I had known all my life, and in the natural course of events, I caught the flu. I knew what to do, of course. I went to bed and waited. But nothing happened. Nothing. I couldn't believe it. I was so hurt I would have left if I hadn't been so ill. Finally, I asked about juice, and she brought me some in a little 4-ounce glass. Period. Because, as I learned later, the only time they drank juice at her house was on alternate Tuesdays, when they graced breakfast with a drop in a thimble-sized glass. My family's juice glasses held 12 ounces, and there was always someone standing by to refill them." We laugh when we read something like that, and yet we all know that relationships are made or broken on such things. Because we fail to really understand one another. There's so many barriers in our communication, aren't there? I've thought about in my own life some of the barriers that I have to really understand not only my husband, but those around me. One of the biggest barriers probably in my own life is the inability to understand myself. Do you have that problem? Have you ever been irritable, frustrated, depressed, discouraged, and you didn't even know why? And so your husband came in the door and he could tell that something was the matter, and he'd say, "What's the matter?" And you'd say, "Nothing." Now, sometimes you're saying that to get back at him because he has done something and you wanted to punish him. But sometimes you say nothing, or at least I do, simply because I don't know. And I'm a little bit embarrassed to say what, you know, that I don't know who I am and where I'm coming from. Another big barrier in the communication process is the fact that we build walls. I was talking to a wife recently who said, I've given up. It's a hopeless thing. And as we chatted, I discovered that she had never felt in her 15 years of being married that her husband had heard her, had taken into consideration her point of view. And so she had built up walls. At first she had tried to press any button, which we will do, to get some attention, to get mad, leave, react, get sick, some button. Nothing had worked. And so she had just withdrawn and built this giant wall, like scar tissue around our hurts, isn't it? And sometimes we can't help this, but this is a terrible barrier as far as real communication, as far as really understanding one another. A third wall is simply the determination to commit ourselves to learn to understand and to learn to communicate with another person. Because friends, as my husband and I have been married almost 30 years now, have discovered marriage does take more than love. It takes work. And one of the things that we need to work at most is this communication process. Because we're always missing each other in communicating. Well, I could talk to you a long time about this morning, but I don't want to dwell on problems. I want to dwell on the solution. And believe it or not, friends, the solution to this problem of understanding one another is exactly the same solution as all of life. And that solution is found in God Himself. Now, I imagine that sounds strange to you, some of you. But let me explain. In this matter of the fact that I don't understand myself, and so there are many times that I can't explain myself to my husband or other people because I don't know where I'm coming from. Well, now, how do I learn about that, about me? I'm discovering that the only person that really knows the deep inside me is the one who made me, and that's God. And I'm finding that when I can't figure it out myself, which is most of the time, tell you the truth, that I can go to the one who made me and who understands all about me. And this is what I do. And friends, this is very practical. I go into my room in the quietness of my own home, and I shut the door, and I pray a verse in the book of James. It's the first chapter, remember this one, in the fifth verse. And it says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And you could put her in there too. It shall be given her. And so I say something like this. And I say it out loud, by the way, because that helps me, just to let the Lord speak to my heart and to write down some things about myself. And I say, Lord, I so lack wisdom, and I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom to figure me out as well as to figure out that man that you've allowed me to live with for 29 years. And other people, I need your wisdom. But where I need it right now is I need your wisdom to understand me, why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling depressed and I don't know why, or I'm feeling irritated, or I'm feeling frustrated. Then as I pray that and really ask him to reveal to me, something very wonderful happens. And into my thoughts come some ideas. And they are from God who made me. And I start writing those ideas down. And he starts helping me put them in a logical order that can get through to my husband. My husband's a very logical person. And I'm one of these that think, you know, kind of all around things. And I've discovered that he really understands me better if I can put it in the way he thinks, rather than the way I think. Well, see, I can't do that myself. But God helps me. And so I put it down and pray about it some more. And then I'm able, when Jack says, "What's wrong, honey?" to really be able to lay it out before him. Now, granted, sometimes it's strictly my problem. And I need to just let God deal with it in his own way and not necessarily blurt it all out to Jack. Although we're so close and you're one, and afterwards anyway, I usually tell him all about it anyhow. Even if it's something very, very ugly about me, which many times it is. So God, in a very practical way, becomes the solution to my not knowing myself. And incidentally, my not knowing other people, because he helps me do the same thing when I can't figure something out with my husband or my daughter or other people. And then he's the answer to the walls that we build around our hurts. See, for true communication to take place, there is a price to pay. And the price is really paid in two ways. One is paid in time. You have to give it time. Sometimes I think that television set is the worst barrier in our lives as far as real communication. Like you've heard the story of the man who had his hand on the TV knob, and he said, "Dear, is there anything you want to say before football season starts?" Well, sometimes that's not so funny, is it? But the price is paid in time for depth in communication. But the other price that has to be paid is in vulnerability. A being willing to open ourselves up to one another. I mean, really. Being willing to share my deepest thoughts with someone. Now, obviously, if I have shared my deepest thoughts with someone and they've turned me off, cut me out, or stabbed me in the back, I stop, don't I? I stop sharing. I pull back and I start to build walls. I won't share anymore for the fear of getting hurt again. Friends, the only way I know to break down those walls is the ability to know God in such a beautiful way that we can trust Him with our hurts. That we can give to Him our hurts, to the place where we can say, "All right, Lord, I realize this relationship. I have built so many walls, and yet I still need to take the risk of being vulnerable to this person. Now, in myself, I can't take that risk because I don't trust this person. So it is only with your help and my being able to trust you to keep my heart and keep those hurts and even use those hurts in my life, that I am able to let you break down those walls so that we can experience true depth in our understanding one another." Now, I have said in 1 minute what it takes years to learn. But friends, for that kind of relationship, we must learn it. And the only way I know to really learn it is to let God be our teacher in this. And He's promised to do that. So He is the answer to breaking down walls, the walls that we build in our lives. He's also the answer to give us the ability to discipline or to commit ourselves to learning how to communicate. It's been said that there are basically two types of personalities. One is a revealer-type personality, and the other is a concealer-type personality. Now, my husband and I fall sort of into these categories. In other words, it's not as hard for me to just sort of blurt it all out, to get my feelings out to people, as it is for my husband to. And over the years, we have realized this. And Jack has done a very beautiful thing for me. Jack is my husband. I guess you picked that up by now. Jack, early in our relationship, realized that I needed to go much deeper in a feeling-type relationship than he felt the need of. So to withhold that from me was selfishness on his part. And selfishness, friends, falls into the category of sin, doesn't it? And so Jack recognized this as a sin not only against the Lord, but against me. And so he told the Lord about that, confessed it, and said, I don't know if it was, you know, in so many words, but this is what he came to. I don't care what the cost is. Lord, you helping me, I will learn to go deep in a feeling level with Carol. And he has. Now, he'll never be the same kind, you know, we're still like this, but that's okay. He has tried, and he has worked, and God has given him the ability to be a revealer, to be vulnerable, to go deep, and I am grateful. Friends, do you realize that the way to learn is not only through God, but the fact that God is the great communicator to us? God, throughout the ages, has always initiated communication with man. I don't know if you're aware of that, but he has. Remember way back, he spoke and the world came into being. God spoke to Adam when he was hiding. After he had sinned, and Adam and Eve were hiding in the bushes, and God came down to find Adam, to speak to him, to initiate that communication, even when Adam was trying to hide from God. I thought of that so often because I thought sometimes I've tried to hide from God. Have you ever tried to hide from God? God is the great initiator of communication. God spoke to Moses out of the fiery bush and said, Moses, this is my commission for you. I want you to go save my people. God initiated that for a specific task for Moses. And friends, do you realize that God has a specific job for every one of you? He has a career plan for you. For you! And it's the greatest and most wonderful plan of all. You just need to hear him when he speaks to tell you about his plan for you. God spoke to Jonah. Jonah tried to run away, but God didn't let him go. God kept speaking, so he would go save the city of Nineveh. God speaks. All through Scripture, we find that God is trying to get through to us. And finally, of course, he spoke to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ came down to earth to tell us about the Father, to tell us about heaven, to tell us about our own needs. And he speaks, friends, very clearly. Very clearly. Let me show you just how clearly he speaks. I'm reading from the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase. Long ago, God spoke. This is from Hebrews 1. Long ago, God spoke in many different ways to our fathers through the prophets and visions, dreams, and even face to face, telling them little by little about his plan. But now in these days, he has spoken to us through his Son, to whom he has given everything, and through whom he made the world and everything there is. God's Son shines out with God's glory, and all that God's Son is and does marks him as God. That's very plain, isn't it? Today, God speaks to us through the Bible that tells us about all of these things. And then Hebrews 2:1 says this. So we must listen carefully to the truths we have heard, or we may drift away from them. For since the messages from angels have always proved true, and people have always been punished for disobeying them, what makes us think that we can escape if we are indifferent to this great salvation announced by the Lord Jesus himself and passed on to us by those who heard him speak? You see, God speaks very plainly about a number of things. Now, of course, there are things that if you read in the Bible about, in Revelation, for instance, about future things, you're going to say, what in the world does that mean? Well, that's like trying to teach a 2-year-old the complicated procedures of calculus. Not ready for it. And there are things in the Bible that are meant for us as we become more spiritually mature. But on the things that God wants me to be very, very plain that we need right now at this time in our lives to begin life with Him, He is very, very plain. And this is what He says about our nature. From Romans 3, 10 to 12, He says, no one is good. No one in all the world is innocent. No one has ever really followed God's plan, path, or even truly wanted to. Everyone has turned away. All have gone wrong. No one anywhere has kept on doing what is right. No one. That's a pretty sad indictment, isn't it, to us? And then about our needs, He says, this is Paul speaking, I am rich with everything I want. I don't need a thing. That's what he says we say. And yet you don't realize that spiritually you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then Paul says we are pressed on every side by trouble. Do you ever feel that way? Pressed on every side by trouble. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do. We are hunted down. We get knocked down. Now, I only read you part of that verse. Because Paul is speaking here from a Christian perspective. And he says this, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. And that's what we want to do. That's 2 Corinthians 4. But you see, not only does he speak very plainly about our nature and about our needs, but he speaks very plainly about the solution to our nature and our needs. He just doesn't leave us hanging there. And I am so glad for that. And he says in Romans 3, now do you see it? No one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what the law commands. For the more and more we know of God's laws, the clearer it becomes that we aren't obeying them. His laws serve only to make us see that we are sinners. But now God has shown us a different way to heaven, not by being good enough and trying to keep his laws, but by a new way, though not new really, for the scriptures told about it long ago. Now God says he will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty, if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we can be saved in the same way by coming to Christ, no matter who we are or what we have been like. Yes, we have all sinned, all fall short of God's glorious ideal, yet now God declares us not guilty of offending Him if we trust in Jesus Christ, who in His kindness freely takes away our sins. For God sent Christ Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to end all God's anger against us. You know, I discovered the truth of this just prior to becoming a teenager. I was raised in a home where the Bible was not only taught, but really lived. And yet, just prior to my teenage years, I realized that God has no spiritual grandchildren. You know what I mean by that? We all are His children, born into His kingdom individually, or we are not of Him. We are not His. That every single one of us has to make that decision for ourselves, to accept Him as our Father, not grandfather, Father. And then He will come in to our lives. But I realized also, even at that age, that there were a great many reasons why God could not dwell with me, could not really have fellowship with me, could not be a part of my life. And that was because of all the ugliness in me. And I knew that even though I wasn't all that old, I had a terrible temper. I had one of these tempers that had temper tantrums. Awful. And I knew that if I just committed one bad thing a day, and I was guilty of much more than that, but just one a day times 365 times how old I was, there was just an awful lot of ugliness in me. And that if God had fellowship with such a person filled with ugliness, that God in his perfection and his holiness couldn't do that. That I could not really, we could not dwell together. And that I and all my ickiness could never enter a perfect place like heaven, or heaven wouldn't be perfect anymore. You know, I had sense enough to see that. But I had also learned that God is not only a God of perfection and holiness and justice, but that he's a God of love. And that 2,000 years ago, he himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, had walked the dusty roads of Judea, had lived a complete, holy, and perfect life, so that at the end of his life, he could have gone right back to the Father without paying any penalty for any ickiness or any ugliness, any sin that he had done. But he didn't. Instead, he died a very cruel death on the cross to pay for what I had done wrong, and to pay for what the world had done wrong, and that all I had to do was really accept what he had already done. And then he would cleanse my heart. He would make me a clean person. He'd give me a brand new slate. He would forgive everything I not only had done, but everything I would do and do now. And that I could have perfect fellowship with the Father. He could dwell with me and begin a new life. A life in which he was going to teach me a great many beautiful things. And one of them was how to really understand him and other people. And I remember the night that I went into my little tiny room under the attic. And I closed the door and I bowed my head. And I said, "All right, Lord, I know what you've done for me. And I thank you. And I accept it. I accept you. I want you to come into my life. Forgive my sins. And I want to be yours." And at that moment, friends, I was. And I am. Not because I'm good. And friends, he did break the back of that temper tantrum, by the way, right then. I never had an uncontrollable temper tantrum after that. So his new nature really came in me. Now, I still struggle with that old nature, and I still get angry. But not in the same way. And he's been able to really control and help me in that area. As well as in, oh, so many areas. And it's kind of summed up in Romans 5 again. Read Romans 5 when you get home. When we were utterly helpless with no way of escape, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners who had no use for him. Even if we were good, we really wouldn't expect anyone to die for us, though, of course, that might be barely possible. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since by his blood he did all this for us as sinners, how much more will he do for us now that he has declared us not guilty? And boy, is there a lot more. Now he will save us from all of God's wrath to come. And since, when we were his enemies, he brought back to God, we were brought back to God by the death of his Son, what blessings he must have for us now that we are his friends. And he is living with us. Now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends with God. I like that. You know that when you've invited Jesus Christ into your life, that you're a friend of God, and you have all of the beautiful things that real friendship envelops. Now, I know that I'm looking at a lot of you who are hurting deeply. I have some deep hurts in my life, at this point in time. But you know, friends, I'm finding that God is the binder of my wounds. That as I give those hurts to Him, He brings me joy. He brings me strength. He brings me healing of heart. And what's more, He shows to me a purpose. And I guess maybe that's the best of all. A purpose in some of the things that I've had to go through and that I'm going through. And oh, I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that He's my friend. And that He extends always His love to me. And that He's always there ready to delight my heart. To give me joy when I'm sorrowing. Yes, in the midst of sorrow. And all of these other things that He's promised me. But in order to really experience that, I not only have to receive Him into my life initially as my Savior and as my Lord, but I have to open my life to Him to let Him help me be mature, to grow, to know more about Him. And I trust that you who know Him are doing that, are letting your heart just be wide open to all that He wants for you. Because like the little boy, it's the translation rather of Psalm 23:1. It says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. And the little boy translated it, the Lord is my shepherd, what more can I want? Let's pray, shall we? And as you're just bowing a moment before God, I'd urge you to look deep inside your own heart this morning and find out what's there. Are you where I was many years ago and just being very confused about this matter? Have you ever really asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, even if you don't understand everything about it? Have you tried Him? If you haven't this morning, may I suggest that you may just want to be quiet a moment, and then you may want to pray in your heart to ask Him to come into your life. And you may want to follow me as I pray a prayer. And quietly in your heart, I'm not asking you to say anything out loud, but just in your heart, you may want to say with me this prayer. Father, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for all my wrong, all my sin. I receive you into my life right now. I want you to come in and thank you for forgiving my sin. And I want to start a brand new life with you right now. Lord, for those who have never asked Christ to come into their lives, I pray for these right now who may have done this morning. And I thank you that you do love us so much and that this is just a beginning. That really this is just a beginning for all of us, because today really is the beginning of the rest of our lives. And that isn't just a cliche. Father, may every single one of us here long to know you better. Open our hearts wide to hear when you speak to us and to receive all that you have for us. Thank you for being the one who longs to communicate with us even more than we long to communicate with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Jerry White's going to explain a little bit about what the cards are. Thank you, Carol. That was beautiful.
Well, after hearing Carol speak, you may find yourselves thinking, well, where do I go from here?